It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
I forgot to do the guttural victory scream yesterday. Should I do it? I'll do another one to make up for it.
Yeah!
Let's go. I'm excited. I also needed to let that out. Just had to get it out of my system, like a primal scream therapy. That's a real thing that you do. And I could really, really use it right now. Good to be here with you, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I just shredded my vocal cords. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor and vocal coach. We will talk about that in a moment. Good morning to you,
good
my
morning.
Friend.
Yeah,
look
first
you.
Bit of coaching. Don't shred the vocal cords yeah, right. on the first you know, usage of the day.
Need that's, to warm it up, right?
It's important. Yeah, you want to do a little warm-up.
Like
do
a
your scales.
Ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma.
Sibilance.
Do you do a lot of a warm-up before your news?
Well, you see me before the show every single day where I actually do use my voice much more here.
True.
Do I ever warm up in the morning?
Nope.
No.
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 Never once. We all should. It's good for you. I do it before Seals games because I scream into the microphone.
You just screamed into the microphone?
About 3 hours. Well, I was off mic.
That's true.
At the sports arena, the Pechanga Arena San Diego, the mics are so vintage.
That
seasoned. That you have to throat them, like, and you have to really get on them. No one can ever hear one word I say. It makes me wonder, like, why do you even have me there if no one can hear what I'm saying? But they do, and I'm there, and I'm excited about it. Got a game tomorrow night. No, tomorrow, I keep thinking today's like Thursday. It's not. Today's Wednesday. Got a game on Friday. Excited about that. And but, man, how about our San Diego Padres with a nice, nice three-game winning streak? We will get into that.
We're going streaking!
That's a streak. That's a streak. Officially a 3-game winning streak, and it's, what, April 17th. Can't beat that. Checking many, many boxes is Mike Schilt and the gang. So excited about that. We got a short show for you today. Excited about that. If you like bad radio, this is probably going to be the show for you, because we just lose it when we get out early. We lose it. We're like seniors in high school on a half day. I mean, that's exactly how we are. The shows really never go good. I hope today is an outlier and it actually goes well. But weird, kooky things happen, and we'll be here. And thank you guys for being here. Couldn't do it without you.
I'm already not optimistic.
I'm not either. I don't feel myself.
First of all, you're out of your routine, because this is the second straight day I've had to pick you up in the morning because your car is in the shop. I picked you up and took you, and we talked about things on the way to work.
Yeah. I'm carless.
You like to chat. Usually I'm just silent on my way to work.
He is a bump.
I've got woods.
He's a bump on a log driving in, listening to the DA show talk about the best jerseys in history. It made me want to impale myself on a fence post. Hey, so what's your favorite jerseys of all time?
Woods did come up with his favorite jersey, though. Paul, you're a jersey guy.
I'm a jersey guy?
I mean, stylish, like retro gear. You like good sports memorabilia and jerseys, correct?
I suppose. I don't own any jerseys.
You have a favorite jersey of all time?
Padres fantasy camp jerseys. Yeah. Those are the only jerseys I have. So you don't. I guess I'm jersey guy.
Woods actually had one.
I had one. I said, if you're going to do this, do it right. It's the Hartford Whalers hockey sweater. There's nothing better.
It's a good call.
That being said, you know, they're in what? New York?
Their show is in New York, yeah.
The Knicks are in the playoffs. The Rangers are in the playoffs. The Yankees are playing. The Mets are playing. The draft is coming up. Hey, what's your favorite jersey? I really like the 79 Islanders. Like, what are you guys doing?
I'll go old school. I liked the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Sure. Absolutely. You can do this all day. It's dumb as hell. And it's what's wrong with our business. Now, we're going to do something way more fun. Ben was telling me on the drive in when he... Finally, I got him to open up a little bit. So what do you got planned today? I said, I've got to do some vocal coaching. I go, excuse me? He goes, yeah, I have to do some vocal coaching. I go, for what? Like Ariana Grande? Like, who are you vocal coaching?
Why would I need to vocal coach Ariana Grande?
I don't know. She has a vocal coach.
Is Delilah starting a singing career?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Like, Manning still takes ground balls. Ariana Grande has a vocal coach.
No, it's one of my newer responsibilities at Channel 10. Okay. Mentoring, you know, some of our newer reporters on delivery. And I don't really know why I was chosen for the task.
Because you have good delivery.
Apparently so. I have no formal training, so I'm kind of winging it as I go when it comes to my vocal coaching.
So it's a new anchor,
reporter? We have a new investigative reporter.
Ooh, I like that.
He's a tier one. Craig, shout out to Craig.
Craig,
Harris.
Good morning, buddy.
Yeah, but he came to us from... the newspaper business.
Okay.
Was a great investigative newspaper reporter.
Oh, I love that.
And is making the transition to television. So he's dialed in on the stories and asking the tough questions and digging and records, you know, searches, you know, the real meat of journalism.
That's why you get it. If you're going to be a journalist, I feel like that would be the best way to do it. Like the guy outside of, sir, why did you accept illegal payments? I couldn't do it.
It's tough.
Bro, I could write the story under a pseudonym that nobody knows who I was, right? Like, but to be the guy waiting, sir, could you please comment? Like, that makes my skin crawl. So he's going to deliver these stories, but he needs a little help because he doesn't
have television. It's television, though, so you still have to package it up nicely and give it a little bit of
oomph.
Pizzazz. Yeah, a little oomph.
When I think pizzazz, you know who I think of? Right there.
Yours truly, of course.
Riz, pizzazz. All of the above. So we're driving in this morning and I go...
You're eating away at my credibility here.
So I go, wait a minute. So how does this work? And he's like, let's print out a story. You deliver it. I go, because I have no experience. He goes, you deliver it. and then I'll vocal coach Dracula up all the way in.
All right. So what's the setting? Is this like radio host delivery?
No, TV. So this is for TV script reading, like
B-roll, voiceover,
voiceover, some B-roll, and on camera. We worked in the studio, and then we worked with a script, and we went through. And again, I'm making this up as I go, but like last week, I worked on like picking a word in each line to give a little extra emphasis to. To, you know, just make sure that the important words, the action words, the ones that you want to get across, stand out in your delivery a little bit.
Okay, so I'm a little bit nervous, all right? But you've handed me this story.
The script is in. The anchor, you're sitting at the anchor desk and you're reading. This is actually a story that Kimberly Hunt read last night on Channel 10.
So try to do this as if the camera's rolling, correct? Because they are on YouTube. Right. You can watch this
on
YouTube.
3, 2, 1.
Caboo will return to the Del Mar Fairgrounds this summer after a 3-year hiatus. It comes after the city of Solana Beach settled a lawsuit over the music festival's planned return. In the suit, the city claimed the board for the fairgrounds overlooked considerations such as air pollution, public safety, and traffic when approving its return. The agreement includes terms to manage those concerns. With the settlement, Caboo will return to the fairgrounds this September. Details about the lineup have not been released.
Okay, not bad. I really liked in the middle there. Can I see the script
sure,
a little
absolutely.
Bit? Yeah, you punched really well. Let's see. Overlooked. When you said overlooked, it was you gave it a bit of a surprise. Like, how could you overlook something
like
that?
Like air pollution.
City claimed the board for the fairgrounds overlooked considerations such as air pollution. You can carry a lot of information and feeling just in the way that you say something. And I don't know that everyone realizes that. Now, maybe it's obvious to some people, but I've worked with reporters in the past that don't seem to grasp how important it is to use their inflections and vocal changes to carry a little bit more. You can, because these stories are quite short.
Yeah, they're short.
This is probably about a 25-second reader at most. You know, in a newspaper, this might be... You might have 7-8 paragraphs for that story, but in TV, it's really
keep it
quick.
Tight.
And to carry that information, it does require some work on the part of the anchor using their voice and delivery to get the message across as much as the words sometimes.
It would make me so nervous to be coached by him. It would make me so nervous. But if I had to have a coach, I think I'd rather have you than some guy that looks at you and goes, you're an idiot.
Part of it is also enthusiasm and just engagement. And I know it can be a bit cliche for the news anchor to be really into every story.
Sure.
And I would never encourage that. But at the same time, you do not want to read a news. You don't want to listen to a news anchor who's just boring and just reading.
No.
Caboo will return to the Del Mar Fairgrounds this summer after a 3-year hiatus. Comes after the city of Solana Beach settled a lawsuit. You need to be more enthusiastic than you would be just kind of in a normal real world situation. Not over the top, but it's got to be a little bit more. And one of the things we're going to work on today in our vocal coaching is I'm going to have them do some Padres highlights. Here's where you go big. And then when you do your normal investigative story, that'll seem easy because you can back off. But in highlights, you're really going strong. Like, this is excitement. This is fun. This is sports. Try this. And then when you're reading a story about, you know, the city sending out water bills inaccurately.
Right.
It'll sound much better when you just give it a touch of that sports read, too.
I like that. So it's like, he's hitting off the tee today. And then once you get in the game,
exactly,
the muscle memory will take over. And you will start barreling balls to the gap.
Nah, this
I
could
like
backfire
that.
Horribly.
Reggie Miller's looking good. He shoots a 3. And it's good. Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Hey, Craig, I love that you have all these different catchphrases. That's great.
Passes it to the man.
Craig, it's great that you have all these catchphrases for your stories. That being said, it's the lead up to them is what's really been the problem. You can't say passes it to the man. You need to know
who
passed it and who he passed it to. Who is the man in this scenario?
I'm not worried about Craig's knowledge of his stories.
Yeah,
he's dialed in there.
Locked
this
in.
Is simply the cherry on top the delivery of an already quality story on television.
That's fantastic.
The Associated Press of the All-American First Team in College Baseball was announced today at Utah's 7-foot sophomore, center Andrew Bogut, was the leading vote getting, receiving 61st place votes.
The panic. When you hear...
You know what? Just cut.
When you see... When
I'm
you,
done.
We watched that kid die. Like, we watched him die. It was like...
It's like the first, like, funny internet video I ever remember
That's
seeing.
It. That was it. It was on... What was that?
E-Bombs World.
E-Bombs yeah. World! It was Leroy Jenkins,
yeah.
That thing.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And that's when I really said, you know, this internet is pretty badass. It really is pretty badass. If you're aggregating things like this, I'm all in.
Charlie bit me.
E-Bombs World, there was one that was very dirty. I'm here for the... Remember that? No, it was called Man This... is awkward, and it was one of the funnier things I'd ever read. E-Bombs World. How are those guys? Where are those guys
it's
at?
Still a thing.
I hope they're billionaires.
E-Bombs World.
I hope that they are so filthy rich.
I don't even know what an E-Bomb is.
Nobody did.
It's still around.
Is it still around?
It doesn't look the same, but it's...
Chocolate Rain. Remember Chocolate Rain?
Chocolate Rain.
Holy crap.
Numa video.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Chocolate Rain. I hope everyone's doing good. I hope that... Taizonde was his name. I hope Tay's doing well. I hope that sportscaster is alive and well and thriving and that his wife has never seen the internet ever. Is that the best pickup line of all time? Like, hey, how you doing? My name's Mike. Oh, no, hi, Mike. Nice to meet you. Here, this is me. Just so you know now, this is actually me. You're in. Like, you're going to get a first date.
It's like, did Carving Guy's wife ever see Carving Guy video in the past?
100%. That's something I would love to ask Carving Guy someday. I really, really would. All right, let's get into last night's
game. What really happened on that Thursday here at Augusta High School that led to Chris Wood's death?
The is that?
You want to talk about quality news reporting?
Country ass f***ed up town. Flying in my mouth. The I can't see pollen. Just get the f*** out of this country, mother. I can't even see me.
I would have promoted that. That would have been my number
now,
one
answer. His on-camera delivery was a little pukey. Which is something you
what
want
really
to,
happened?
You want to
what
want.
Really happened on that Thursday here at Augusta?
It's the best. Yeah, Craig, if you're listening, don't be a puker. Caboo will return to the Del Mar Fairgrounds this summer after a 3-year hiatus. You don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
Don't be a puker.
Try to coach that out of anybody that uses that style. All right, we're going to set the
that
menu.
Was fun, dude. We're Holy cow.
Set the menu. Now that we've all been vocally coached up, should be a great short show today. Yeah. As we lead you into early Padres baseball, going for the sweep of the Brewers. We've got our Padres wrap-up coming up as well. But we'll set the menu when we come back. And we'll pay off the Incorporator a little bit early. Jesse Agler on television last night, working in our Incorporator word of Arenaceous.
He was grinding on it. Grinding on it.
I thought it worked pretty well.
I did too.
You can hear for yourself when we come back with Bennett Woods after a check of traffic, Kelly Danick on a Wednesday morning here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. Ctmobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's get the menu out quickly so we can get to our incorporator audio from yesterday.
What are the specials today?
Specials today are a Padres 6-3 win over the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll be serving that as our first course coming up here at the bottom of the hour in our Padres wrap-up. We've got a couple of our regular menu items, Take on Woods, Don't Do This, in our 7 o'clock hour. We just received word that one of the specials is off the menu for today.
We just ran out.
We just ran out of Adam Jones.
Just ran out.
Unfortunately.
86.
We are going to get some more back in stock tomorrow. I went to 86, Adam Jones off the menu. He is on a surprise flight across the Atlantic Ocean like he normally is. Was supposed to be about 6 or 7 hours ago, but he got a little delayed, so he's not going to be landing. But he said, we'll do it tomorrow instead. But we will have one Brett Boone join us from the Brett Boone podcast at 8:35. That'll be the main course, as it were, as we lead into no time for dessert, unfortunately, as we will be out of here a little bit early today, giving way to Sam Levitt for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show, which starts at 9:10 this morning as Padres play their first early eastern part of the country game of the season and go for a 3-game sweep of the Milwaukee Brewers later this morning.
It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And they have not named a starter yet.
I have not seen Pat Murphy name his starter. Now, early in the series, I had seen Freddie Peralta's turn in the rotation. I go, okay, well, he's tough. We talked about that. You want to get the first two if you can.
Let's get the first two if you can.
Because Freddie is nasty. But apparently, Pat Murphy is a big believer in as much extra rest early in the season as possible. And even though they don't have another starter, he'd rather give Peralta that extra day of rest as opposed to throw him, you know, in a game where you don't want to get swept by a team that you might be competing for a playoff spot against later in the season. If it were me, I'd be throwing Freddie Peralta in this game and trying not to get swept by the San Diego Padres. But I'm not Pat Murphy, and he's probably going to be going with some sort of bullpen game against the Padres later this morning.
Yeah, I thought that was a little odd myself. And I think the dozens of people at Milwaukee's ballpark will be very disappointed if they were expected to see Freddie Peralta. What the hell is going on in Milwaukee? I'm sure you guys have noticed the last couple of nights. You can hear people's conversations. Like, did you call the guy about the insurance yet? You haven't? I don't know if we need renter's insurance. I mean, straight up, like conversations in the crowd. What the hell's going on? The Bucks are done for the season. They're gearing up for the playoffs, right? I'm assuming that the Milwaukee Bucks are in the playoffs.
Yes, but Giannis is out, which is going to hurt them against the Indiana Pacers.
So are people so depressed about Giannis being out they didn't want to come to the Brewers game? Who were a good team and an exciting team?
As Jesse mentioned, the weather was really bad. Now, they've got a roof at the ballpark.
They got a roof!
Perhaps getting to the ballpark seemed like it was just a beating. Plus, it was leaking all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Inside American Family Field. How come other places don't keep up their ballparks the way we do?
I saw a picture of the Dodger Stadium press box the other day, you guys, where it said, because the rain was pretty gnarly in L.A., it delayed us a couple games. They said the water was leaking into the press box on people's laptops. They're sitting there punching up stories. They took a grocery bag, Paulie, like a plastic grocery bag, duct taped it around the ceiling to catch the water that was dripping in the Dodgers press box. I mean, it's staggering to me that a place like that is
now. I don't know if we're being too hard on Milwaukee. A lot of places in baseball, Mondays and Tuesdays, don't draw huge crowds. You know, Padres are one of the exceptions that have a great fan base.
Maybe that's what I'm used to.
Yeah, and Craig Elston made the point on Twitter, and I thought it was a good one yesterday, that Padres fans notice that when they play at home on Mondays and Tuesdays, they've got big crowds and they've got supportive fans, and then they go somewhere else and I think as a player, you go, it's nice to play for the San Diego Padres with a fan base that cares and
drives
shows
it home.
Up because
yeah.
the alternative is this. And you go in Milwaukee and you play in a mausoleum indoors,
quiet,
no atmosphere. It's not as fun. It would not be as fun to be a baseball player to play for the Milwaukee Brewers as it would be to play for the San Diego Padres.
I mean, there is absolutely no question about it. Monday night, I mean, we were there. We threw out the first pitch on a what? Tuesday night?
Tuesday night, yeah.
You couldn't even get a hot dog, man. Like, after it was like, oh my God, it was like Coachella walking through the concourse on a Tuesday night.
And you
that's not the Ben and Woods effect. That was right. the poncho effect.
But, like, even look around baseball and, like, a Friday night in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Or a Friday night at San Diego.
Dead.
The sunset, the City Connect, the house band, beer fest. It's a party.
People are
it's
like,
amazing.
You're in Milwaukee. I'm like, yeah, what better? And again, the Brewers are a good team with exciting young players.
They went into this series with the best winning percentage in the National League.
Yeah.
This is probably offensive to people from Milwaukee, but what else do you have to do?
Yeah, what else are you doing? That's what I think. I mean, you know. I don't know. That was always the argument here when attendance was down. It was, well, there's so much to do. The product on the field is worth tracking your ass out to the ballpark for.
Let's get to the Incorporator here before the bottom of the hour. So Jesse Agler joined us as he does each and every Tuesday. And we got our word from our YouTube stream yesterday. Do you remember who submitted it? Here,
I can't remember.
Here's the
name.
Setup from yesterday with Jesse.
One of our tier ones submitted this in the chat, and I like this. The word itself, I don't think it's going to be too difficult for you. Erinaceous. 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 Always fun with the definition like or relating to the hedgehog. Erinaceous.
Hedgehog.
Which is amazing. Like, what a weird.
How does it get its own adjective?
It's, yeah.
So Jesse went with, as we discussed last week, I call it the directed conversation, and started turning his attention to creatures of the northern Midwest and mascots of the region with mud. This was on television last night.
As the rain started to fall, he said the woodland creatures are very happy.
You can sort of, if you're paying attention, you can sort of see it coming. And in the top of the seventh, he got to his point that I think he was trying to make all along.
Michigan guy.
Michigander.
There you go. Played his college ball at the University of Cincinnati.
Bearcats.
A lot of erinaceous animals up in this park. Your bearcats, your hedgehogs, your groundhogs,
Wolverines. Yeah.
Badgers.
I was going to say.
Oh, can't forget the badgers.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
Yeah. And when you can get, like, Mud didn't miss a beat. Like, he was part of the conversation.
Of the
that is an effective.
Bearcats.
Incorporator usage yesterday for Jesse Agler. Well done, as he always does.
Yep.
All right, we will come back. We will get to our Padres recap, our wrap-up highlights of last night's 6-3 win. Great performance by Dylan Cease. We'll talk about all of it coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, this is more like it. Padres playing good acting. At least I am. When I sit down and listen or watch a game, I'm expecting it to now go fairly well for your San Diego Padres. Didn't take long, right?
I felt pretty good, you know, winning the game the night before, coming back, and then having Dylan Cease on the mound. I've been very impressed with Dylan Cease so far. Would I love him to not walk guys? Sure. Yeah, I think eventually that comes back. Well, it didn't come back to bite Blake Snell last year. And so far, it has not come back to really bite Dylan Cease yet this season. I know he wants to work on it. He's a funny cat, dude. Like, he's so deadpan. Did you hear the
post? Very dry.
He's very dry. Did you hear the post game with
him? I did.
And they asked him, he's like, what'd you think about your slider? And he goes, you know, whatever. And Mudd's like, what can you do? And he's like, I don't want to tell anybody what I'm working on. It's so good. He's like, I've got a couple of ideas. I'm not going to share them. I thought it was brilliant. I was like, you know what? I kind of like this guy. Typically, I like a little bit more personality, but I said, oh, no, that's his personality. Dry and deadpan.
I get the sense he's a little tired of people bringing up his poem about his slider. Yeah.
If you don't want people to bring up your poem that you wrote about a slider, don't write a poem about your slider. And it will never be brought up.
It's not like you wrote it last week. It was like years ago.
Yeah,
I know.
But like, you know,
we're having a fresh fun with it now that he's changed teams.
It was fun. It was funny when Mudd said, how was your slider, oh slider?
He also, and I say it was pointed out in the UT newsletter this morning, he's been really appreciative of the defense behind
him.
Sox had a horrifically bad defense. And I don't think you necessarily realize what, you know, as a major league pitcher, how difficult that is. Like, you finally get someone to hit a ball right at someone, and you're going, oh, I got out of the inning, and they botch the play, and now you've got a, now you're in a tougher situation. You got a tougher batter coming up. They've made plays behind him, and he's really enjoying, I think, being on the San Diego Padres. And I don't think he's even seen the best of the Padres defense yet, but he's definitely appreciated
that.
Guy's
somewhat out of position. I mean, how about Profar with that pick?
Unreal. That play at first, I'm like, he must have just crapped his pants. That ball was skull.
What'd you call the lineup change?
Base runner right in front of him.
Oh, yeah. Screened completely. I mean, that ball is right under my legs.
Yeah, Profar getting the start at first. And we'll have an update on Jake Cronenworth coming up as well from what we've heard. But first, we'll check traffic and then our Padres wrap-up highlights of last night's win next year on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
1-1 to Manny. Ground ball right back off Wade Miley. Off his shin, Karam's over to first base. Bauer's going to tag Machado out. Wade Miley is on the ground. Xander Bogaerts was able to score on the play. Padres have a 1-0 lead. Second and third, one out, top of the first inning. Swung on, driven down the left field line, and well hit. Is it going to be fair? It is gone. Home run for Ha-Seong Kim. Padres with a 4-0 lead here in the first. Here's Bauer's left-hand hitting first baseman. Swings first pitch and hits a line drive down into the right field corner. And Tatis Jr. has a long way to go to run this one down. Let's see if they're going to send Adames. They're going to send him. Here comes the cutoff throw. It's going to be cut off and held on to. It's a two-out RBI double for Jake Bauer's, and the Brewers are on the board. 4-1 Padre lead. Swing and a miss, strike three. Foul tip actually held on by Luis Campusano for the punch-out. 7 punch-outs on the night, 2 in this inning for Dylan Cease. That'll do it for the Brewers here in the 6th. Next pitch, little blooper into right field. This may fall, coming on hard as right fielder, but it's going to fall in front of him for a single. One run is in, and Fernando, as the other runners have to hold up. And the Padres are able to extend their lead to 5-1 on the RBI bloop single by Luis Campusano. Next pitch, ground ball to the shortstop. Could be 2. Over to second for 1. Over to first base. Not in time. Jerickson Profar is going to score as Jackson Merrill was able to stay out of the double play. 6-1 Padre lead now. On the RBI fielder's choice by Jackson Merrill. Count now full. 3-2 pitch. Little looper in the right field. It's going to be a base hit. It goes off the glove of Fernando Tatis Jr. One run is in. As the ball comes back into the infield, and the Padre lead is now cut down to 6-2. Ground ball to the left side. Rosario has it over to second base for 1. Tries to get for the double play, but it's not going to be in time. Weimer is going to score. Padre's lead is now 6-3. That's not happening. He's staying at second base now. Still 2 down. Pitch to Adames. Fly ball to left field. Zocar going back. Still going back. Reaches up to make the catch at the base of the wall. And that'll do it. The Padres hang on to win this one by a score of 6-3. Wandy Peralta comes into the ballgame and gets the job done on a fly ball. Nice running catch by Zocar to flag it down. Padres have guaranteed themselves a series win. They've guaranteed themselves a winning road trip.
First of all, this stuff is so nasty. You know, sometimes you get the opportunity to sit back and just appreciate when somebody does something spectacular on a baseball field. And man, he threw some pitches that are like, that's just nasty stuff. You know, exploding fastball and dirty slider. And
Mike Schiltz on Dylan Cease, 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts, did walk 5, but he's just been close to unhittable so far this year. Well, really, that's who Dylan Cease is. He's a very difficult pitcher to hit, and that's been the case so far. Gets his second win with the San Diego Padres. Padres won 3 in a row, 5 of their last 6, and as Scan mentioned, their third straight series win already clinched. They'll go for the sweep later this morning and try to get out of Milwaukee with a 4-game winning streak, something you might remember they had trouble doing last year until September.
Yeah.
Take care of that in April as well right here. That would be nice today.
100%, Benny. Dylan Cease, you can't say enough good things about what he did His opponent batting average right now is leading the National League in a stable full of brilliant, brilliant pitchers in the National League. Opponent's batting average is 130. Fifth in ERA with 199 and tied for fifth with 27 punchies on the season for Dylan Cease. What a brilliant, brilliant move that was by A.J. Preller at the stroke of midnight, essentially, to get Dylan Cease in. I shudder to think where our rotation would be without him. And if he keeps pitching like this, yeah, you get to a playoff series, he's your guy. That's the guy you roll with. You want to get that first one out of the way. He's got the nastiest stuff on the staff. He throws harder than all of our other starting pitchers. He's dirty, man. Now, again, he survived, pitched brilliantly. He also had Angel Hernandez behind the dish. Now, Angel gave some to the Padres, and he took away some from Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease in 1AB had to throw like five strikes, and he was visibly getting frustrated. But, you know, he got the I Survived Angel Hernandez T-shirt last night, came away with a win, and just a really nice pitching performance from him. And, again, like you said, backed up with good defense and everything else.
110 pitches, went through six innings, which was important because the Padres bullpen had been used the previous couple of days, so they were able to go with, I don't want to say the lower leverage guys, but Morejon, then Matsui only had to get one out, and then Brito, and they did bring in Peralta for the last two outs in the ninth inning, but you were able to stay away from Robert Suarez, didn't have to pitch in the game yesterday after he had been used three of the previous four games. So always good when you can get a big enough lead and not have to go to your highest leverage relievers every single game. But the Padres get the 6-3 win. If there was one complaint, probably should have won by more, given the opportunities that they had created for themselves against Wade Miley and the Milwaukee bullpen. And they only went 4-for-15 with runners in scoring position. Better than 1-for-15, though.
Or 0-for-15.
You know, and they did score six runs, which is a number you take every single day of the calendar year, essentially, if you're looking to an offense. But I think there was a streak where they went 0-for-7 in the middle of the game with runners in scoring position. They had the bases loaded and one out. They had a runner at third and less than two outs twice and didn't get the runner in.
That's tough. Those are the ones that typically come back to haunt you. And again,
It did last season.
And the bend but don't break is fine. It's absolutely fine. You walked out of there. You got a victory. You scored early. And you put the pressure on Milwaukee to come up and maybe force their ABs a little bit. As you're down, you know, they blinked and it was 4-0, just like that. I mean, it was the quickest four runs I feel like I've seen us score in forever. And so encouraging that Manny again and taking out pitchers with every swing. I mean, rockets up the middle. There was a lot to be encouraged about last night.
10 game hitting streak for Manny Machado, and it makes such a difference in the lineup. Remember early in the season when it felt like you had a couple guys hot, but they were all separated and you could never get a bunch of hits in a row. Well, last night you had Fernando Tatis Jr., 3-for-4, setting the table and ended up scoring two runs. He also walked. Then Jerickson Profar has been hot, 1-for-3 with a walk. So he was on twice. He scored twice. You had Manny with a hit and a walk and that 10 game hitting streak. And of course, Ha-Sung Kim with a 3-run home run.
So close.
And a walk coming through. Those are now guys in the order who all seem to be, you know, coming around at the same time. Campy, after a bit of a slump last couple of games, I think he swung the bat a little bit better. Jackson Merrill finally didn't get a hit.
Is it time to be concerned about Jackson Merrill?
Well, I want to give him
more
though.
Reps, maybe, in AAA.
I think one of the hardest things to do for a young player is realize that even when you don't get a hit, you can contribute.
And he did.
He had a fielder's choice where he hustled out of the box, beat the return throw at first base to avoid the double play and drive in a run, so an RBI, and he had a stolen base. So you're still adding, you know, value to your team, even on a quote-unquote off day at the plate for Jackson Merrill. And by the way, Pat Murphy, a lot of respect, I thought, for Jackson Merrill. I think twice he went to his bullpen to get a lefty to just because knowing how good Jackson's been and how dangerous he is. He gave him two very different look lefties. He got a big side armor and he got more of an overhand guy and that would give any left-handed hitter some trouble when the other team is already game planning around you and against you, wherever your spot in the lineup comes up.
Yeah, no question. I got a tweet last night from our buddy Cole and he's in the chat this morning too. Wanted to talk about Xander Bogaerts and this surprised even me. He said, but can we please make a talking point out of Xander hitting into double plays? I think we're all sick of watching it. Not that it's going to happen. How many more runs would we have had each game if he switched spots with Merrill or was benched? And I said, look, I can probably handle that for you right here on Twitter without making it a talking point on the air, which I just did. But I said, he shouldn't hit into double plays, and you're not going to bench a $280 million player. You're just not. That, as much as you love it or hate it, it's not going to happen. So we need to, you know, watch that from your memory. Would it surprise you that that was his first double play he grounded into this season?
It would surprise me.
It surprised me, too, when I looked it up.
No, because I think the Padres have hit into seven or eight of them in the last three games.
Bro, but yes.
It wasn't him it that's
wasn't,
been doing it.
It wasn't Xander.
Now, batting leadoff does lessen your chances of hitting into a double play.
And that's what I was going to say to Cole and everybody else listening. Like, it's not ideal to have numbers like Xander Bogaerts has in the leadoff. He did start the game off with a knock yesterday, which, again, that's what you want to do.
Started the most important rally of the game.
Most important rally of the game. So give credit where credit is due. I said it before the season started because he is a bit of a ground ball guy. I said, where do you hit him? Well, you hit him fifth, and now the sacks are jacked, and he's coming up in that spot. And I know there's been a lot of dissension about it. Here's what my honest take is. I don't think you'd move him at all. Because it's working. Like, we're winning ball games. I don't think it's something where you look at one individual player and say, yeah, you're scuffling a little bit, but the team is winning. And again, he started off the game with a knock, came around to score. We got four runs on the board in the first inning. I don't think you go in and, you know, start tinkering and move the lineup around. Well, now, eventually, maybe he slides down. Somebody had said to me, well, he won't do it. He's not going to go hit seventh because of his ego. And I said, I mean, that may be the case. This team certainly feels if he wouldn't do that, then that's a problem. That's a problem for, I think, a lot of people. Like, you got your money. You're here now. You need to do what you got to do to help us win. He hasn't shown no, you know, he has said nothing to where, like, no, man, like, I don't want to hit seventh. He said it last year at spring training. We've held his feet to the fire about it, that he, you know, he likes hitting second, but he doesn't get big numbers there. But he's got his bag. Like, hit where we need you to hit. But for right now, while you're winning ball games, don't mess with anything.
Yeah, I think it's important what you say. Like, the team is winning ball games.
Yeah.
Now, they're 11-9. That's slightly over 500 through 20 games. But even in those nine losses, like, they aren't really getting blown out ever. Like, they're
right in. Oh, yeah.
Even the crappy games, the games that we come in, you know, you're like, oh, that was predictable after scoring 12 runs the night before. Like, they're still, you know, what does Mudd always say? A bloop and a blast, or they're within slam range. Like, they're in almost every single ball game. So it is working.
100%. And you know, it's an interesting talking point in the chat. You know, people are saying, you know, somebody said, I don't like him at leadoff because he doesn't have enough speed. I think those days are gone. You know, Jeff.
Well,
honestly,
those days might be gone, but I will make the counterpoint here. What do you need from your leadoff guy? You want them to get on base. And in last night's lineup, there were literally eight guys with a better on base percentage than Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Well, seven. He's got 2 points higher than Luis Camposano, but you could go. He's at 286 OBP.
Yeah, it needs to be higher.
Tatis is 379. Profar is 413. Kim is 341, even after a slow start. Manny's at 337. You're not going to bat him leadoff. Jackson Merrill's 408. Aegi's even 321. And Ozocar's 412. I mean, you could choose literally anyone that has been getting on base more than Xander. Now
you don't mess with it now, right? You agree with that at least? Like you don't need to go jigger the lineup when you just scored six runs.
You wait until you start losing games?
No, but I think with Xander,
why not be proactive?
Well, the track record. If you're going to spend 280 on a guy, you kind of have to believe in the
track.
I'm
not saying you're benching Xander. I agree with you there.
No.
He's got to hit his way out of his slump. I don't know that it has to be out of the leadoff spot though. And I don't know that just because you're winning, you go, I can't change anything. That kind of mentality just leads you to stop winning soon. If you're not...
Who says? It's working.
You never F
You
with
don't
the
F
streak.
With the winning streak, Ben. You don't. And, you know, if he needs a day off, fine. It's a different story. He got one last week, and Jackson Merrill hit leadoff. You do that.
Interesting to see what's going to happen today, especially considering the status of Jake Cronenworth. We will hear from Mike Schilt about that and play some Take on Woods when we return here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, this is more like it. Padres playing good acting. At least I am. When I sit down and listen or watch a game, I'm expecting it to now go fairly well for your San Diego Padres. Didn't take long, right?
I felt pretty good, you know, winning that the game the night before, coming back, and then having Dylan Cease on the mound. I've been very impressed with Dylan Cease so far. Would I love him to not walk? Sure. Yeah, I think eventually that comes back. Well, it didn't come back to bite Blake Snell last year. And so far, it has not come back to really bite Dylan Cease yet this season. I know he wants to work on it. He's a funny cat, dude. Like, he's so deadpan. Did you hear the
post? Very dry.
He's very dry. Did you hear the post game with
him? I did.
And they asked him, he's like, what'd you think about your slider? And he goes, nah. you know, whatever. And Mudd's like, well, did, like, what can you do? And he's like, I don't want to tell anybody what I'm working on. It's so good. He's like, I've got a couple of ideas. I'm not going to share them. I thought it was brilliant. I was like, you know what? I kind of like this guy. Typically, I like a little bit more personality, but I said, oh, no, that's his personality. Dry and deadpan.
I get the sense he's a little tired of people bringing up his poem about his slider. Yeah.
If you don't want people to bring up your poem that you wrote about a slider, don't write a poem about your slider. And it will never be brought up.
It's not like you wrote it last week. It was like years ago.
Yeah,
I know.
But like, you know,
we're having a fresh fun with it now that he's changed teams.
It was fun. It was funny when Mudd said, how was your slider, oh slider?
He also, and I say it was pointed out in the UT newsletter this morning, he's been really appreciative of the defense behind
him.
The White Sox had a horrifically bad defense. And I don't think you necessarily realize what, you know, as a major league pitcher, how difficult that is. Like, you finally get someone to hit a ball right at someone, and you're going, oh, I got out of the inning, and they botch the play, and now you're in a tougher situation. You got a tougher batter coming up. They've made plays behind him, and he's really enjoying, I think, being on the San Diego Padres. And I don't think he's even seen the best of the Padres defense yet, but he's definitely appreciated
that.
Guy's
somewhat out of position. I mean, how about Profar with that pick?
Unreal. That play at first, I'm like, he must have just crapped his pants. That ball was skull.
What'd you call the lineup change?
Base runner right in front of him.
Oh, yeah. Screened completely. I mean, that ball is right under my legs.
Yeah, Profar getting the start at first. And we'll have an update on Jake Cronenworth coming up as well from what we've heard. But first, we'll check traffic and then our Padres wrap-up highlights of last night's win next year on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
1-1 to Manny. Ground ball right back off Wade Miley. Off his shin, Karam's over to first base. Bauer's going to tag Machado out. Wade Miley is on the ground. Xander Bogaerts was able to score on the play. Padres have a 1-0 lead. Second and third, one out, top of the first inning. Swung on, driven down the left field line, and well hit. Is it going to be fair? It is gone. Home run for Ha-Seong Kim. Padres with a 4-0 lead here in the first. Here's Bauer's left-hand hitting first baseman. Swings first pitch and hits a line drive down into the right field corner. And Tatis Jr. has a long way to go to run this one down. Let's see if they're going to send Adames. They're going to send him. Here comes the cutoff throw. It's going to be cut off and held on to. It's a two-out RBI double for Jake Bauer's, and the Brewers are on the board. 4-1 Padre lead. Swing and a miss, strike three. Foul tip actually held on by Luis Campusano for the punch-out. 7 punch-outs on the night. 2 in this inning for Dylan Cease. That'll do it for the Brewers here in the 6th. Next pitch, little blooper into right field. This may fall. Coming on hard as right fielder, but it's going to fall in front of him for a single. One run is in, and Fernando, as the other runners have to hold up. And the Padres are able to extend their lead to 5-1 on the RBI bloop single by Luis Campusano. Next pitch, ground ball to the shortstop. Could be 2. Over to second for 1. Over to first base. Not in time. Jerickson Profar is going to score as Jackson Merrill was able to stay out of the double play. 6-1 Padre lead now on the RBI fielder's choice by Jackson Merrill. Count now full. 3-2 pitch. Little looper in the right field. It's going to be a base hit. It goes off the glove of Fernando Tatis Jr. One run is in as the ball comes back into the infield, and the Padre lead is now cut down to 6-2. Ground ball to the left side. Rosario has it over to second base for one. Tries to get for the double play, but it's not going to be in time. Weimer is going to score. Padres' lead is now 6-3. That's not happening. He's staying at second base now. Still two down. Pitch to Adames. Fly ball to left field. Zocar going back. Still going back. Reaches up to make the catch at the base of the wall. And that'll do it. The Padres hang on to win this one by a score of 6-3. Wandy Peralta comes into the ballgame and gets the job done on a fly ball. Nice running catch by Zocar to flag it down. Padres have guaranteed themselves a series win. They've guaranteed themselves a winning road trip.
First of all, this stuff is so nasty. You know, sometimes you get the opportunity to sit back and just appreciate when somebody does something spectacular on a baseball field. And man, he threw some pitches that are like, that's just nasty stuff. You know, exploding fastball, and dirty slider. And
Mike Schiltz on Dylan C. Six innings, two hits, one earned run, seven strikeouts, did walk five, but he's just been close to unhittable so far this year. Well, really, that's who Dylan Cease is. He's a very difficult pitcher to hit, and that's been the case so far. Gets his second win with the San Diego Padres. Padres won three in a row, five of their last six, and as Scan mentioned, their third straight series win already clinched. They'll go for the sweep later this morning and try to get out of Milwaukee with a four-game winning streak, something you might remember they had trouble doing last year until September.
Yeah.
Take care of that in April as well right here. That would be nice today.
100%, Benny. Dylan Cease, you can't say enough good things about what he did. His opponent batting average right now is leading the National League in a stable full of brilliant, brilliant pitchers in the National League. Opponent's batting average is 130. Fifth in ERA with 199 and tied for fifth with 27 punchies on the season for Dylan Cease. What a brilliant, brilliant move that was by A.J. Preller at the stroke of midnight, essentially, to get Dylan Cease in. I shudder to think where our rotation would be without him. And if he keeps pitching like this, yeah, you get to a playoff series, he's your guy. That's the guy you roll with. You want to get that first one out of the way. He's got the nastiest stuff on the staff. He throws harder than all of our other starting pitchers. He's dirty, man. Now, again, he survived, pitched brilliantly. He also had Angel Hernandez behind the dish. Now, Angel gave some to the Padres, and he took away some from Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease in 1AB had to throw like five strikes, and he was visibly getting frustrated. But, you know, he got the I Survived Angel Hernandez T-shirt last night, came away with a win, and just a really nice pitching performance from him. And, again, like you said, backed up with good defense and everything else.
110 pitches, went through six innings, which was important because the Padres bullpen had been used the previous couple of days, so they were able to go with, I don't want to say the lower leverage guys, but Morejon, then Matsui only had to get one out, and then Brito, and they did bring in Peralta for the last two outs in the ninth inning, but you were able to stay away from Robert Suarez, didn't have to pitch in the game yesterday after he had been used three of the previous four games. So always good when you can get a big enough lead and not have to go to your highest leverage relievers every single game. But the Padres get the 6-3 win. If there was one complaint, probably should have won by more, given the opportunities that they had created for themselves against Wade Miley and the Milwaukee bullpen. And they only went 4-for-15 with runners in scoring position. Better than 1-for-15, though.
Or 0-for-15.
You know, and they did score six runs, which is a number you take every single day of the calendar year, essentially, if you're looking to an offense. But I think there was a streak where they went 0-for-7 in the middle of the game with runners in scoring position. They had the bases loaded and one out. They had a runner at third and less than two outs twice and didn't get the runner in.
That's tough. Those are the ones that typically come back to haunt you. And again,
and did last season.
It did last season. And the bend but don't break is fine. It's absolutely fine. You walked out of there. You got a victory. You scored early. And you put the pressure on Milwaukee to come up and maybe force their ABs a little bit. As you're down, you know, they blinked and it was 4-0, just like that. I mean, it was the quickest four runs I feel like I've seen us score in forever. And so encouraging that Manny again and taking out pitchers with every swing. I mean, rockets up the middle. There was a lot to be encouraged about last night.
10-game hitting streak for Manny Machado, and it makes such a difference in the lineup. Remember early in the season when it felt like you had a couple guys hot, but they were all separated, and you could never get a bunch of hits in a row? Well, last night you had Fernando Tatis Jr., 3-for-4, setting the table and ended up scoring 2 runs. He also walked. Then Jerickson Profar has been hot, 1-for-3 with a walk, so he was on twice. He scored twice. You had Manny with a hit and a walk and that 10-game hitting streak, and, of course, Ha-Sung Kim with a 3-run home run.
So close.
And a walk coming through. Those are now guys in the order who all seem to be, you know, coming around at the same time. Campy, after a bit of a slump last couple of games, I think he swung the bat a little bit better. Jackson Merrill finally didn't get a hit.
Is it time to be concerned about Jackson Merrill?
Well, I want to give him
more
though.
Reps, maybe, in AAA.
I think one of the hardest things to do for a young player is realize that even when you don't get a hit, you can contribute.
And he
and
did.
He did. He had a fielder's choice where he hustled out of the box, beat the return throw at first base to avoid the double play and drive in a run, so an RBI, and he had a stolen base. So you're still adding, you know, value to your team, even on a quote-unquote off day at the plate for Jackson Merrill. And by the way, Pat Murphy, a lot of respect, I thought, for Jackson Merrill. I think twice he went to his bullpen to get a lefty to because knowing how good Jackson's been and how dangerous he is, he gave him 2 very different look lefties. He got a big side armor and he got more of an overhand guy just to, and that would give any left-handed hitter some trouble when the other team is already game planning around you and against you, wherever your spot in the lineup comes up.
Yeah, no question. I got a tweet last night from our buddy Cole, and he's in the chat this morning too. I wanted to talk about Xander Bogaerts, and this surprised even me. He said, but can we please make a talking point out of Xander hitting into double plays? I think we're all sick of watching it. Not that it's going to happen. How many more runs would we have had each game if he switched spots with Merrill or was benched? And I said, look, I can probably handle that for you right here on Twitter without making it a talking point on the air, which I just did. But I said, he shouldn't hit into double plays and you're not going to bench a $280 million player. You're just not. That, as much as you love it or hate it, it's not going to happen. So we need to, you know, watch that from your memory. Would it surprise you that that was his first double play he grounded into this season?
It would surprise me.
It surprised me, too, when I looked it up.
No, because I think the Padres have hit into 7 or 8 of them in the last 3 games.
Bro,
but
yes.
It wasn't him
it
that's
wasn't,
been doing it.
It wasn't Xander.
Now, batting leadoff does lessen your chances of hitting into a double play.
And that's what I was going to say to Cole and everybody else listening. Like, it's not ideal to have numbers like Xander Bogaerts has in the leadoff. He did start the game off with a knock yesterday, which, again, that's what you want to do.
Started the most important rally of the game.
Most important rally of the game. So give credit where credit is due. I said it before the season started because he is a bit of a ground ball guy. I said, where do you hit him? Well, you hit him 5th, and now the sacks are jacked, and he's coming up in that spot? And I know there's been a lot of dissension about it. Here's what my honest take is. I don't think you'd move him at all. Because it's working. Like, we're winning ball games. I don't think it's something where you look at one individual player and say, yeah, you're scuffling a little bit, but the team is winning. And again, he started off the game with a knock, came around to score. We got 4 runs on the board in the first inning. I don't think you go in and, you know, start tinkering and move the lineup around. Well, now, eventually, maybe he slides down. Somebody had said to me, well, he won't do it. He's not going to go hit 7th because of his ego. And I said, I mean, that may be the case. This team certainly feels if he wouldn't do that, then that's a problem. That's a problem for, I think, a lot of people. Like, you got your money. You're here now. You need to do what you got to do to help us win. He has shown no, you know, he has said nothing to where, like, no, man, like, I don't want to hit 7th. He said it last year at spring training. We've held his feet to the fire about it, that he, you know, he likes hitting 2nd, but he doesn't get big numbers there. But he's got his bag. Like, hit where we need you to hit. But for right now, while you're winning ball games, don't mess with anything.
Yeah, I think it's important what you say. Like, the team is winning ball games.
Yeah.
Now, they're 11-9. That's slightly over 500 through 20 games. But even in those 9 losses, like, they aren't really getting blown out ever. Like, they're
right in. Oh, yeah.
Even the crappy games, the games that we come in, you know, you're like, oh, that was predictable after scoring 12 runs the night before. Like, they're still, you know, what does Mudd always say? A bloop and a blast, or they're within slam range. Like, they're in almost every single ball game. So it is working.
100%. And, you know, it's an interesting talking point in the chat. You know, people are saying, you know, somebody said, I don't like him at leadoff because he doesn't have enough speed. I think I think those days are gone, you know, Jeff.
Well, those
honestly.
Days might be gone, but I will make the counterpoint here. What do you need from your leadoff guy? You want them to get on base. And in last night's lineup, there were literally eight guys with a better on-base percentage than Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Well, seven. He's got 2 points higher than Luis Camposano. But you could go. He's at 286 OBP.
Yeah, you need it needs to be higher.
Tatis is 379. Profar is 413. Kim is 341, even after a slow start. Manny's at 337. You're not going to bat him leadoff. Jackson Merrill's 408. Aegi's even 321. And Ozocar's 412. I mean, you could choose literally anyone that has been getting on base more than Xander. Now
you don't mess with it now, right? You agree with that at least? Like you don't need to go jigger the lineup when you just scored six runs.
You wait until you start losing games?
No, but I think with Xander
why not be proactive?
Well, the track record, if you're going to spend 280 on a guy, you kind of have to believe in the track.
I'm not saying you're benching Xander. I agree with you there.
No.
He's got to hit his way out of his slump. I don't know that it has to be out of the leadoff spot, though. And I don't know that just because you're winning, you go, I can't change anything. That kind of mentality just leads you to stop winning soon. If you're not...
Who says? It's working.
You never F
You
with
don't
the
F
streak.
With the winning streak, Ben. You don't. And, if he needs a day off, fine. It's a different story. He got one last week, and Jackson Merrill hit leadoff. You do that.
Interesting to see what's going to happen today, especially considering the status of Jake Cronenworth. We will hear from Mike Schilt about that and play some Take on Woods when we return here on 97.3 The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.